Then in reading that 28th verse, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Maybe I should read the 19th verse also. There was a certain rich man, his clothes in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus. He may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would come would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, and he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I would like to talk to you tonight for a little while about the message the rich man wanted his brethren to hear. Normally, under any normal circumstance, a man who is suffering or in need, or who has a serious problem in his life, would normally enjoy, and not only enjoy, but reach out for the association of his friends or his relatives especially. You know yourself, when you're sick in body, maybe real sick, it's a comfort to have your relatives close by you. And it's just normal. That's natural. In fact, generally you would send for your children to come in. As a child, you would send for your parents. It's comforting to have your brethren come in to see you and be with you during the time of your sickness, of your trial. It's a natural instinct. But I would like for you to note this story tonight. There is something the rich man wanted his brethren to hear. And whatever this something was, completely neutralized the natural impulse for him to want his brethren with him. Now, we have evidence in this scripture that he loved his brethren. But the love that he had for them, which would normally want him to have them close by, is now the opposite. Something has changed. There's something about what he knows that he wants them to know. And the reason he wants them to know is simply that they would not come to where he is. Right. Said, Brother Bean, there must be something wrong with the man. He wouldn't want his breath. No. How do you mean? I feel an obligation tonight, and if you will, please hear this preacher as I give you the best that I know how. the message the rich man wanted to spread. In the first place, there's some things about hell that none of us know about. There's no way for us to know. But we do have the word of the Lord, and then my personal experience, I was praying one night, and I said, God, I don't feel that I have sufficient knowledge about hell to have the burden for lost soul or to be able to preach it as I ought. I wish while I was laying here on this bed in this dark, and I'm here talking to you, I wish you'd show me something about hell. And God answered my request that night, began to unfold before my eyes one of the most horrible pictures that I've ever known. In fact, it was so horrible until I begged God to take it out of my mind. I just couldn't retain it. I don't believe you could retain your sanity and just keep thinking on what began to unfold before my eyes. Friend, believe me tonight, there is a real hell. Real hell. Now, if this rich man was here in this earth, I am certain that he could preach more effectively in 5 minutes than I will the whole time that I'm up here. But I can't get him here. There's no way that I can bring him to you tonight. So I have to do the best I know from the word of the Lord and from what God has shown me. Deal with me in the Spirit. I'll have to do the best I can. Now, he wanted his brethren to hear this. But I would imagine tonight, if I could talk to that rich man, that he would not stop at that. I am certain that if I would ask him the question, rich man, would you want this message to be carried even beyond your brethren? Would you want? What about the folks in Laurel, Mississippi, tonight? I would be certain that he would scream from wherever he's at now and say, whatever you do, preach that. In fact, I'd almost be willing to assure you that if men in hell had their wishes, there would not be a service go by that hell was not described in that service. I'm just sure of that, and I know my man. There are some things about going to hell that I don't know. The scripture doesn't make clear. First of all, there is one point that is clear enough. In fact, every place I see it mentioned about folks being cast to hell or taken to hell, in every case, it mentions and specifies that they were thrown or cast. Cast the man out of darkness, sir. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. In every case, it is the fact that they were thrown, cast. In other words, some immortal being with immortal strength takes each individual, and in some instances it records that they were bound hand and foot. Find them, it said, on certain occasions. Find them. And then this immortal being evidently assigned that job. Takes them in his hand, and with immortal strength, in every case, there's no riding of an automobile, there's no plane ride, there's no train ride, there's no trolley car that you're put on. You're not ushered into a sheriff's car and taken off. In every case, they were thrown, cast. No certain way to fall, just throw. Cast them and drown them. Cast them. That alone brings to me a horrible thought. To just suddenly be thrust and thrown into outer space. And
In every case I read, generally the first thing that is mentioned is cast them into outer darkness. That's the first thing they experience is darkness. First thing. Now, how long a man falls, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. With God, time means so very little. Day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So it means nothing to God. Time means nothing. Really nothing. And from the time that that individual leaves the throne room, here goes words from the mouth of the judge, depart from me. From the time he is taken with all hands and thrown down and up. From that time till he reaches hell, I do not know. You could actually fall 1,000 million years. I don't know. Time means so little to God. It could be that God plans it, that you will fall for 1,000 years and just fall. That could be a part of the punishment. In fact, that would be a horrible part. The fact that you will just fall. I've talked to paratroopers, and they tell me that is one of the most horrible feelings, just to be fallen. And they and those fellows, when they get to the door of that plane, they have to kick them out, shove them out. And just freeze. They can't, the thoughts are just falling. And the suspense of it, the anxiety involved in it. When do I reach it? How long do I fall? The speed that you fall is very possible that you will go like one of the comets of the night. I understand that if those astronauts would re-enter space just as a human being, their body would actually burn up, would glow and burn. And I could see this individual is thrown. How fast, I don't know. But through outer space, if it's through darkness, you'll be falling, and the suspense of it, and how long, and when do I reach hell? You think in your mind, if I could just go ahead and reach there and get this over, this anticipation and anxiety and the uncertainty of it and the thought. Well, that is yet to be seen. I couldn't tell you about it. All I know is that there will be a falling. There will be a throwing of men, casting them through some space of outer darkness. But folks have got to figure out that hell is in the heart of the earth. I'll not argue with you about that, but I'd rather think maybe that God has some place for it, because they're cast, they're thrown, and first into outer darkness. First into outer darkness. The space is somewhere they will fall. Here they are, head first a while. And I guess being so many people as possible, bumping against one another. Feet first a while, sideways, face down a while, backwards a while, just fall. And of course that'll be very tiresome. Spring it. Very spring. Tired. Just to be falling. And, well, when you reach hell, there are some things I'd like to tell you that you will expect to happen. That I know possibly will happen to you. We are people that would be Pentecostal if it wasn't for the fact that they want to have their short hair and their makeup, and they want to look like the world. They don't want to be a pale face. They want to be pretty. And they claim that that's more beauty involved in that than there is in this. I do not agree with it. Even from the natural standpoint, if I wasn't a Pentecost, I would look at a Pentecostal woman and say that she is far more beautiful than someone in the world. That's just my opinion, and I have a right to that opinion. And I'm not prejudiced there. But of course, I don't want to be a Pentecostal on this account. Well, I would like to inform you, young lady, the first thing that happens to you the minute that you splash into hell. Like a comet from the sky, you splash into your eternal home. The first thing that happens to you, the hair of your head will be singed off. These things that you were so careful to pluck and to arch and take care of and paint and fix up will be singed away. The fingers on your hands will be burned off. There will be nothing but stubs or hands. The smaller members of your body will burn away. And everybody in hell looks just exactly alike. You could not tell a male from a female. Souls are burned off. Smaller members of the body are burned away. And everybody there is nothing but a charred mummy. No hair on anyone's head. And no fingernails to paint. No lips to really paint, because they're burned, charred, and raw flesh is sticking out everywhere. And so immediately the thing that you counted so valuable to you, in one instant will be gone for eternity. It will never return to you. They do not have a dressing room in hell. They wouldn't need a comb. There's no hair on anybody's face. It stains and burned away. And everybody looks alike. Just a mass of charred mummies. All charred, burned, charred. And so the beauty fades instantly and immediately the minute you reach hell. And then starts the long, long, long endless and the suffering. And there's some things that the Bible declares very plainly about that place. And oh, I wish I could talk to all the Lord tonight. I don't know what I'd give if I could have all of this city here and plead with them just for a little while. Friend, what I'm telling you is the truth. It is the truth. It is the truth. It is real. It's genuine. And if I could call a rich man tonight, he would say, preacher, preach them the message about hell. Tell them, tell my brother, tell my friend, tell them. He said, lest they come to this place. I don't even want my kindred here. The punishment is so severe, I do not want my kindred to be with me. And you know it must be severe. You know it must. And there are some things that are definitely true about hell that the Bible declares without question. The continual thought, and the thing about it, you think, well, if I never reach hell, finally I get there and I put my feet on something. And I could find something to lean against. Well, the thing about it is, my Bible said it's a bottomless pit. Bottomless. That means simply that you never cease to fall. Fall. Can you imagine how tired that would be? Just like you were put into a drive, and were tumbling, head first to plow, feet first to plow, tired. Just forever and forever falling. Because it's bottomless. You never do get to the bottom of it. If you never find a place that you could say, this is the bottom, this is it here. Because it's not there. You just don't find it in Him. And the Bible declares this. This is plain. This is clear and without question. The Bible said they rest not day nor night. That means they'll be tired in hell. Exhausted. Oh, I'm tired. There's many reasons why you'll be tired. There's many reasons. The fall will be making tired. Never being able to just lean up against something. You know, when you get tired, you could just sometimes just lean up against something. It helps a little bit. Because you could just fall across something. But there's nothing there. The walls of the place. And you may reach for one of those craters. One of those mighty rocks. But it's so red hot and so many suspenders, it burns, And now that won't help. And after all, there's going to be one mass of atomic explosions after another. Hell will be such a place of intense heat until the very atoms will split and burst and cause hydrogen and atomic blast. There will be one blast after another in hell. So there'll be no such thing. As you take a hold of something, hold to it, the blast of the place, the constant explosion there in hell, and the eruptions that are there will keep you moving all the time, knocking against people and knocking against the wall. There are many reasons why you'll be tired. The trip to hell. I've traveled a little bit. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I'm road-bounded tonight. The thoughts of a long trip I just don't like. I used to enjoy that. And when I think about starting on a long trip, I dread every mile of it. I travel so much. I'll never forget coming from Florida one night. One day, I traveled 900 miles that day. Just steady, constant driving, just stopping long enough to gas up and get a little bite to eat and keep driving. A friend that can really be tired 900 miles in one day. And many times have I driven way in the night, just on and on and on. Tired. In fact, you just drive so much, so even when you go to bed, you feel like you're still driving. Can't seem to go to sleep, too tired, still driving. But I'll never forget, I came to a friend's house, Louisiana, that night. It was really a good feeling to know that I was welcome in that home. They had a good bed for me, and if I wanted something to eat, they had something good to eat. But in hell, the thing is, you never reach a friend's house. There are no motels or hotels in hell. Go inviting signs, such and such a motel, and vacancy. Not on there. They don't even as much as have a sidewalk to sit on. They don't even as much have a chair or a basket or anything, just anything, wrong, anything to sit on in hell. And the process of falling has wearied you, the anxiety and the nervous tension of it. And then, here's another thing. Hell will be a place, the Bible declares this, as brimstone. Fire and brimstone will be belching out of it. Brimstone is burning soul, the most suffocating smoke there is. And here you are, trying to get a little oxygen in your lungs. And that alone can be tiresome. Have you ever smothered in your life? That can be a tiresome thing to struggle for a breath. I went to pray for a man that had the very serious case of asthma. And he was on the floor. One of them on the floor. Just one of them. Grabbing things. Struggling. Pulling. Just to get a breath. Or just to look at him. I just encountered him. I just smothered myself to look at him. Well, in hell, he will constantly be pulling. For just, have you ever been in a tight place and you can't get the breath? If I could just get one, I could just get one. But you don't ever in hell get any oxygen in your lungs. They just don't have it. It's nothing but a mass of burning sulfur. You're breathing it. And you're struggling. And that alone would make you tired. And you'll be so tired until you hurt. And I have been that tired. I've been so tired so that you feel like you wanted to cry. And God knows that I'm not that much of a sissy. But I've been so tired it seemed like if I can just cry into the hell. But in hell, just sick time. But the Bible says they rest not day nor night. They don't ever sit down. Don't ever sit down. And not in hell. It's a continual movement. It's a continual perpetual movement. Always. And bumping and struggling and pulling for breath constantly in hell. In hell. Yes, sir. Beauty's gone. Ambitions and hopes are gone. And now then you're in hell. And the thing that makes it so bad, according to this Bible right here that I hold in my hand, according to this Bible and its averages, and it's consistent. I am talking to people now that will go to hell. Right now, Brother Ross, as sure as this Bible is God's Word, I'm talking to people that will experience what I'm telling about now, plus the things I don't know about. Just as sure as there's a God in heaven, the sad part of it, according to this Bible, and its averages and statistics. I am talking to people who now have the Holy Ghost. that will later wind up in hell. Five were wise and five were foolish. The enclosure of hell, the loneliness of it. Though there will be multiplied millions of people there, you will be alone. No one's interested in you. Everyone's interested in himself. Hell will be a mass of demon power. There are devils, demon power, that make people sick. There are actually afflictions that are direct results of demon torture. I believe there is a demon called cancer. I believe there is a demon of tuberculosis. I believe there are demon spirits that would cause the human body to suffer. Now the thing that I've studied about hell is this. For the 1,000 years millennium period, my Bible said Satan is bound, but he is loose. And not one place do you find where he was ever bound again. If I understand my Bible, they will be cast loose into hell. That means the flu demon will be in hell. That means the cancer demon will be loose in hell. Which simply means his power to make sick and to bring affliction will still be there. In hell, plus the torture of the flame, you will be one mass of cancer, one mass of horrible diseases and the feeling of flu and fevers and sick and nauseating. Oh, how nauseous, how sick. And the pain that wrecks the different parts of your body as a result of loose demons in hell. Who says that their power is taken away from them in hell? It just simply means they're there for torment. But in their torment, who knows but what the sting, their power will still be there. Amen. Oh, friend, in hell. And I don't know if you've ever heard demon-possessed people or not make noises. I have. And I'm sure that some of you have. But if you haven't, that's the most horrible sound in the world. I heard a little girl at the demon possessed, and every breath, he was just rocking back and forth. And every breath was a groan that I would not know how to make the same thing. I just don't believe it could. It was a blood-curdling groan, constantly. Every breath. No, they get so tired under the influence of demons. Every breath. You see, the devil does things by us. He does things by rhythm. Everything he does is rhythm. That's why the rock and roll goes over. I talked to a young man who prayed through in a revival where I was at, and he was had won a national award with a teenage dancer. And he told me, he said, Brother Bean, he told me the different dances. I asked him, I said, what do y'all do? Do the twist or what is it? He said, that's amateurish anymore, the twist. I said, don't tell me there's anything worse than that. He said, we've got the mashed potato, and we've got the shout, and we've got the monkey, and we've got all of this other stuff. And he said, I'd be playing the piano at times and get so in the spirit of that until I would scream and get up and tear my clothes off of me. The power of the rhythm of it, the powers of hell, it works in rhythm. 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 That's why in Jamaica they've got the demon worshippers down there. They'll gather around here on the sidewalk. This is not mesmerized, right? They look like Pentecost. They talk in a gathering tongue and all of that, but they're worshippers of the devil. And they'll gather around you and start a loud beating of the drum, and everybody get in the rhythm. And the first thing you know, you'll fall out and you'll lay there for days under the spell of the power. It's the rhythm of it, the rhythm of it, the rhythm of it. In hell, it will be a mass of rhythm. Satan and his forces will start And I can hear it now. And you're so tired and you're struggling for breath, you don't want to say anything. I'm too tired to talk. I'm too tired to scream. But the powers that are there won't let you stop in the rhythm of it. And I see it start now as those demons look and scream. Hello! And they start that rhythm. Hello! 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 And you start joining with them. You don't want to say it, but you can't help it. The rhythm of it, and the spirit, and the powers that are there have got you on this way. Hypnotized by the powers of Satan and his forces. And the concussion of 10 million times 10 billion horses. Can you imagine billions and billions and billions of horses as loud as it can, all at the same time? Don't you know there'll be a concussion from those horses that'll pick you up like waves in the sea and dash you against one another. Hello! And the waves. And down you go, and after a while it's screaming again, it picks you up. The body, the concussion of hell itself. And here you are. Time. Just a time. So if I could just leave you. But not in here. Glory, the rich man won't be good. Let them come. Don't let them come. I'll suffer myself. Without the friendship and the fellowship of my brethren, rather than see them come. So, please tell us. And so, I'm telling you the story tonight. The rich man knows it. If he could come here in 5 minutes, he possibly could persuade you. Another thing about it. I thought of it. In hell, first of all, let's go back to the judgment for a moment. I have reasons to believe that at the judgment, there will be a time of goodbye. I really believe that. Several reasons I believe it. First of all, I find in the Bible where it said that God will wipe the tears from his saint's eyes. Now, somewhere, it looks to me like that glorified saints will weep. Somewhere, God's going to have to wipe tears from somebody's eyes, and they're his children. Now, I wouldn't argue with you over it, but I personally believe to add to the torture of your lost and doomed condition, God is going to grant a time of goodbye, just as a man in a courtroom has been sentenced to the electric chair. But before they handcuff him or before they leave him out of that courtroom, he gets a chance to kiss his wife and mother and dad and children all the time. And they all say bye, and then they lead him on to death row. I personally believe that God is going to grant that at the judgment. I believe that with my whole heart. I'll tell you one reason. Another impressive point is a happening in Houston, Texas. There's a woman tonight in Brother Kilgore's church, one of the finest saints I've ever seen in my life. Even before this program, Brother Wilhart got up. Brother Kilgore tells me the woman never failed to bring him someone who knew to preach every Sunday night. Not one time has she failed to bring somebody brand new in that church. She was a sinner. Knew nothing about God or the Holy Ghost. Most invited to church would make her mad. She was not interested in God. She was not Pentecostal. She had not been raised around it at all. One day, her little girl by the name of Debbie drowned. I forget Debbie's age now. She was just a little tiny. She could talk some, but she was just a small child. And a Catholic woman came by and visited with her later, and But why don't you go and get the priest to pray your child out of purgatory? Well, she didn't believe that, but it got her to thinking, is my child saved or lost? I never took her to church. I wasn't interested in God. My baby is dead, and I wondered if it's saved or lost. And it left the woman crazy. She prayed night and day, night and day. God, could you show me about my child? One night she was praying about 2 o'clock. She had not gone to sleep. She was wide awake, crying and praying in the way that she knew how to pray. And all of a sudden, little Debbie appeared at the foot of her bed. And she said, Debbie, is that you? And she said, yes, Mommy, it is. But what if it is, come over here and let me love you. Debbie came over to the bedside, and her mother reached out and took her in her arms. And she said, I have never felt anything like her flesh. It was not like human flesh. It was more like velvet, yet it wasn't like velvet, that I could not explain. Said she had no clothes on, yet she was not naked. She was cold with life. And she said, Mommy, Jesus heard your prayer and sent me to tell you that I'm all right. Now, remember, the child knew nothing about the Holy Ghost nor her mother. But the little girl says to her mother, says, Mommy, Jesus sent me to tell you that you're going to have to receive the Holy Ghost or you cannot come where I'm at. And not only that, Mommy, she said, Jesus told me to tell you to tell everybody you see that they're going to have to get the Holy Ghost so they cannot come where I'm at. She said, Debbie, are you happy? She said, oh, Mommy, all this time she's trying to pull away. And she's anxious to go. Finally, she said, Mommy, I love you, but I've got to go. And she said, bye, Mommy, and started up. Her mother ran outside and watched her as she stopped over the building and waved goodbye and said, bye, Mommy, I love you, but I've got to go. Bye, Mommy, I love you, but I've got to go. I personally believe that when the judge has read the verdict over you, I believe with all of my heart that it will be a time allotted for the saying of goodbye. Please. First of all, I believe that I told some of you this before. My father died. The last words I remember him saying to me was, I'm lost. And it's nobody's fault but mine. I personally believe at the judgment it will be somewhat on this earth. I believe there will be witnesses. No, you're not the saints of just the earth. And I believe that Alexander Franklin Dean will be called to the stand. And I believe the judge will say, is there anyone here that would witness against him? And by the law of justice, I must stand up and tell the truth. Judge, I am his son. What have you got to say for him? I'll have to say, Judge, I'll have to say, I'm sorry to say, but I'll have to say that those nights that he would go to church and carry me as a little boy, I would lean over on his shoulder, standing on the old church pew. And I would lean over against his shoulder, and I would wet his shoulder with tears and say, Daddy, won't you please go pray? And I'd have to say, Judge, that every time he turned me down, he said no. And, Judge, I would also have to say that when I would go home at night, I would wet my pillow with tears the way in the morning, just a little boy, crying because my daddy did not come. And, Judge, I also remember that I dreamed that he and another man, named Smith, was walking toward the church house. We were all taken into rapture just before the two of them got to the church. Not long after that, Mr. Smith died long. Not much longer after that, my dad died. And I have to say, Judge, that I told him that dream. Not only that, but I also have a brother and 2 sisters. And at times, they would dream in the night that he was lost. And go check him, wake him up, Dad. Scared, trembling, crying, Dad, I dream he's lost. The judge, I'd have to say that he's sending back to bed, told him everything would be all right. Now, as far as I know, and as far as I witness, Judge, I'll have to say the last words he told me on this earth. I remember. His own words, he confessed, I'm lost. Nobody's fault. All right? Witness to her mother. My mother would have to stand and witness that she preached the last sermon that he ever got in his life as an individual. Brotherville, Texas, she preached that night and conviction fell on him. And he was standing by another man, and this is his own testimony. He said conviction would hit this other man, and then it would hit him. Then it would hit this man. Said it looked like one of us was going to have to go. The other man went. And Dad walked outside and expressed himself to some of the men. He said, well, boys, I may have got it tonight. I don't know. And Judge, my own mother stands to witness. The life of this man stands to witness. He preached the last time if he ever got a chance to hear him. Now the verse. Sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me into everlasting chains, God. Prepare for the devil and his enemies. All right, there's the time of silence. I see just before the immortal being takes him by the hand. He turns and looks at his family. I believe this with my whole heart. I believe that I'll actually tell him goodbye. I believe that I'll wave at him. Goodbye, Daddy. I love you now, but you can't be my daddy anymore. Goodbye. Sorry, Daddy. He's got to stay here on this beautiful shore. His wife waves goodbye. Alex, I've prayed for you many times. 4 o'clock in the morning, Mother has awakened me crying out to God, save me. Sorry, Alex, but can't be your wife anymore. We love you. Goodbye. The thought that comes to my mind is this, and you hear me tonight, friend. God is talking to someone in the service. If you love your children, my advice to you is take them in your arms tonight and love them all you know how. Hold them close, because in hell there'll be no baby to hold. I don't understand it. I cannot figure it out to save my life. Why a man or woman, for the sake of their children, would not want to live to God. The most unfair thing you can do to your children is to leave them the testimony that you were lost. I'd rather know that my dad was saved than for him to have left an inheritance of $1 million. I don't mind the fact that he had to pay some of the debts he owed. He was a hard-working man, but cutting logs in this kind of weather, he just didn't get to work. And that's all right. He paid his debt. But if I could just know, if I could have just had a word somewhere from some source of hope and encouragement that he was saved. But friend, not so. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Can you imagine the mad goodbye? Mommy, I love you, but goodbye. The little old hand waves. I want to stay here on this beautiful shore. You've got to go. And I have to imagine the mad goodbye. Mommy, I love you, but goodbye. The little old hand waves. I want to stay here on this beautiful shore. You've got to go. And I have a scriptural proof that in hell, people who are in hell will be able to see folks who are in heaven. My Bible said the rich man saw Lazarus afar off, recognized him as Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. In hell, you will be able to see those that you love so much. My bathroom was close to that corner, will be able to see this boy, his wife, his daughter. There they are. And you know, Mother, come on, face the fact. The most cruel thing you can do tonight in your family is the little son of God. There's nothing that is more cruel in this world than your family. The most unmerciful task that you can carry out, the most criminal thing that you can do, is to leave those dying children in this world off. And someday have to part from them and hear their little desire. Sorry, Mom. I love you. I tell you the truth. To me, if there was no flames in heaven, if they had beautiful stores and air-conditioned rooms, to just be taken away from my baby would be terrible. And me to be able to look younger and see my little girl around the beautiful white throne, see my wife, my mother, nevertheless, and I will never again hear their voice. I will never again feel the touch of their hands. Never will my little girl reach her arms up to that little picture of me, because they don't come. No gay laughter of the sound of hell, no pattern of little feet that were thrown across any of the other parts of hell. They just don't have enough. And the horrible part is, you're looking across and you see and it's in hell. And the younger said, maybe a stage level. If you know Christ with you so many times, there's Brother Long. And you see him, Brother Long, Brother Long. And though you know there's no use for you to scream, but you'll scream and spatter. You'll do it as sure as there is a hell. You're going to scream in hell and call the names of those that you can see. Maybe it's a saved mother. Maybe it's a saved dad. Maybe it's a saved child. Maybe it's a brother. Maybe it's Mother Lord. And you'll scream, Mother Lord, Mother Lord. Mother, 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 can't you call God just one more time? I know you care. I know you want to be saved. Can't you see me in this predicament and you'll scream? You'll scream that there be one. And there is somewhere in the process of the goodbye. Our Bible teaches me that God himself will wipe the tears from their eyes. And there'll be no time. Jesus said, let me just take time out after you said goodbye to lost ones. And the way God wipes the tears away. And you walk over him now and forget them all. That's going to be the blessed thing about him. That when he finally wipes the tears, he'll remember them no more. If I remembered my daddy in heaven, heaven wouldn't be heaven. Wouldn't be heaven. But somewhere in the process of it, he's going to take a memory away. And I'll never look towards the lost again. Never will I gaze from the city to see if I could see him in that awful place. He will see me constantly marching around that throne, dressed in that beautiful white linen, glorying God and praise to the name of God, enjoying the bliss of that great eternal city. But just the old palace, no. He won't have any fingers left. Burn away. He will reach. John, pray for me one more time. Lean your head on my shoulder, begging to go along one more time. Son, I'm sorry I turned you down. I'm sorry. Son, I'm sorry that I caused you to cry away in the past. Oh, son, could you pray for me just one more time? Why could you preach one more sermon? And the government is dead and just as soon. I was preaching revival in place. Then I was fast. And it was hot weather, and I started to take a drink of water out of the church. The parson started to take a drink of water. And I just got it to my lips, and I called him. Just to be honest with you, it took me a long time to watch it. I thought about an old man somewhere. Thirsty, that every human sense will be at its peace. Hungry in hell, oh, hungry. The dope addict will want his dope more than ever. The sucker will want his drink. The smoker will want his cigarette. Craving. Yeah. I've never lived. If God was just saying out of trouble, time doesn't mean anything to me, but I'm going to allot time. I'm going to make time possible in eternity. And once every million years, at a certain time, when that red hand of the clock reaches a certain spot, if you are present and at the right place, I'll grant you the privilege of opening that door and taking your daddy a glass of water. Or just a drop. That's all the rich man has to call a drop. He said, I just get a drop. I'll be very honest with you. You could shout around the throne all you wanted to. But this boy would stop 10,000 years ahead of time watching the clock. I want to be sure, and I'll go ahead and shout, but I'm going to sit right here at the spot where he told me to wait. 10,000 years I would wait. I would not go anywhere. I would not move. I would wait for my son. He would say, all right, brother, and burn your hands and take hold of the door. That way he said, all right, that's all right. But if you open the door and you're there at that certain time, once every million years, I'll let you dip your finger in water and touch your dad's tongue. I promise you, I'd be there on time. I'd be there. I'd swing the door wide, and I would scream his name. I would never be late. I would wait patiently for my time. Oh, friend, there is a real thing. It waits for you, man. It's open mouth, gaping wide. The Bible said it's enlarged. I'm afraid that even we apostolics do not believe in the reality of heaven. If we did, you would not have to beg for you to go in personal work if we really believe there is a hell. My God, there is a hell tonight. Mother, take your darling girl in your arms and hold her close because it's a matter of time and you'll have to tell her goodbye. Bye, Mom. I still love you, but I've got to go. Dear Lamb of God, tonight, I beg you as sincerely as I've ever begged in my life, something would happen in this service. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. Goodbye, mommy. Goodbye. Goodbye. We still love you. We wished you didn't have to go. We're so sorry to see the angel take you by the hand. I see a little anxious child standing close by. Don't you hear him ask the question, what are they going to do with my mommy? What are they going to do with her? Well, she's got to go, honey. She's got to go to hell. She wouldn't live for God. She wouldn't serve the Lord. Do I ever get to see her again? No. No. Never.
Goodbye, Daddy.
Goodbye.
Wife says to husband, goodbye. Then, besides family witnessing, I personally believe that these preachers will be called on the witness stand. As one by one, you file by. For the Lawrence U. Pastor, the church in Law, Mississippi, what is your testimony about this individual? Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Judge, but we prayed for him. We tried. And they just wouldn't seem to humble themselves. We'd have gone out of our way to go on and help them. But they seem to want to love the world. Goodbye, friend. Goodbye. Our lonesome daughter, wave goodbye to your mother. Live the life before you. Beauty gone now. The thing you live for is suddenly taken away. Now how useless it is. It is not worth anything to you now. Church, can you pray? Do you know how to talk to God in a service like this? Do you know how to get burned for a dying soul? Can you reach with compassion now for those that perish? Please. Friend, don't involve. Listen to this preacher beg you tonight. Please live to God. Please. Please. Why wouldn't you want? The odds are all against you, not that we are now. Everything to gain by coming. You wouldn't lose happiness, you gain happiness here. Church, are you praying? Somebody tried to take it. I'm afraid they're going to turn away. I'm almost afraid to bring it to that point. I'm afraid they're going to turn him down. Talking about a helpless being. The preacher with a burden of this on his heart, knowing it's the truth, and yet seeing people turn it down. And this preacher has seen more than one. Listen to me. More than one have I seen walk out that never came back. That's not what I read out of a book of illustration. That's not a psychological appeal. That is the truth. Bakersfield, California. I pled with a man one night. I said, man, if you don't come tonight, you'll never come back to this church. He didn't come. He didn't believe it. 3 days later, fell dead in a grocery store. In the same city, called the pastor in the church. We don't believe it. I'll give you his name and phone number. The same church. I pled with a man one night. I begged him. I warned him that by chance I was giving him his last invitation. He didn't believe it. Just like folks don't believe anymore. They think that's just a preacher trying to scare me. But you see, he walked out. They found him dead in bed the next morning. I said, just keep talking. Keep it up. Your name. Does a marriage remember? There's a woman of mine is lost. I prophesied if she didn't pray that night would receive an untimely and a horrible judgment.
They have it on tape recording. Brother Morgan still got the tape. I made mention to him. I said, I'm glad you're taking it on tape. You'll play it back. Whoever this is, and the Holy Ghost showed me the woman. She walked out, smiling, unconcerned. Brother Morgan said, Brother Bean, I played the tape back when it happened. They found her burned to death. Had to scoop her up in bags. Put it in a casket. She was nothing but ashes. I've seen it too many times. And to stand here tonight and wonder, I'm wondering right now, what will you do when I invite you to this altar? It almost scares me. I almost don't want to say, come. I'm afraid you'll say no. Preacher, are you concerned about me? Do you realize that? I contend that you've got a burden for the lost, or you're lost yourself. That's one way to judge whether you're lost or saved. What about it? While the saints are weeping, crying, praying. I wonder if there's one in this hour. Oh, that would just say, but being I'm ready, I want to live for God.
Hallelujah.
I'll come. You just come and kneel at this altar.
Ande, hato furidi endi libi ansatana. bambini cumbri da vasta falda, io comando lo bottai. Ribandiri di euro profonda, sono poi indai. Ribanda, astaiei, o riband, rifo cumbri candere stumba le piazza. Andori di te, bravon, andiri di cuore di ando la vostra razza. Ribanda ritornova, prima non mare son d'ora chi era, ora va mangiare che dà la torre. Chi ruba, chi nova non dava, ora può mangiare chi non la mostrava. Andore di cur, oh, chi ruba, in starving with you, old soul. I have long waited for your heart to melt. And your pride to fade away, that I might save you from the horror that waits for you. But so you have been stiff-necked, you have hardened your heart so many times. I say unto you this time, it is not by chance that you have come to this place. I have especially sent you here, for I know your future. I know the narrow path that you walk. I know the dangerous places ahead of you. And I know that you are near eternity. Therefore, I'm dealing with you especially. The light of my love is turned your direction. Do not resist me this night. Oh, do not turn your thought away. To your own sorrow and disappointment. Not believe that God is accurate, I will invite you to contact the church and make sure you get it. God spoke to me in a letter. I knew the man. I went to him personally.
And God spoke this message. He said, if you do not attend in the service, you will receive instant destruction. Your children, from the least to the greatest, will look in your cold face and tell you goodbye. A week and a half later, he was instantly killed in the car. The pastor told me, he said, Brother Dean, I had forgotten the prophecy until I took his little blonde-headed girl that couldn't see over in the cabin. I picked her up in my arms so where she could see her daddy. And I whispered in her ear and said, honey, tell daddy goodbye. And it dawned on me what God had said a week and a half before that. God spoke, said, your children from the least to the greatest will look in your cold face and tell you goodbye. He said, Brother Bean, I helped fulfill that prophecy first of all by picking her up so where she could see his cold face. The next thing, by putting it in her ear, what to say to her dad a week and a half later. If you don't think God is a business God, he's not praying tonight, church. Hear this preacher, he's not praying tonight. Seriously, God is reaching out to somebody in this altar. And I plead as desperately as an Ohio for you to move that. Would you do it? Would the audience please stand as we give the fire name of sin? Would you please stand? My Lord. My Lord. My Lord. First, keep praying. Don't give up for a moment. Keep praying. My Lord, I fear this service tonight. I tremble in this service.
I feel a sick feeling about somebody else. I want to appeal to you. For these that are in the altar, I want some real praying out of this church. No standing around. I want some praying. This is the church now. Not the church. If you're not going to pray, just mute yourself. So we won't be bothered with anyone just standing around. I believe this woman won't stop. These children won't stop. Get the man in the altar. I'm going to ask you to get in there and pray with them. Don't spare yourself. There's no hell right now. Oh, thank you. In eternity so long. Goodbye, man.
Get into his presence to worship. Amen.